It is Ryan here, and I have a question for you. What do you do when you win? Like, are you a fist pumper, a woo-hooer, a hand clapper, a high-fiver? I kind of like the high-five, but if you want to hone in on those winning moves, check out Chumba Casino. At ChumbaCasino.com, choose from hundreds of social casino-style games for your chance to redeem serious cash prizes. There are new game releases weekly, plus free daily bonuses, so don't wait. Start having the most fun ever at ChumbaCasino.com. No purchase necessary. VGW. Void where
prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18 plus. Bring a little optimism into your life with The Bright Side, a new kind of daily podcast from Hello Sunshine. Hosted by me, Danielle Robey.
And me, Simone Boyce. Every weekday, we're bringing you conversations about culture, the latest trends, inspiration, and so much more.
I am so excited about this podcast, The Bright Side. You guys are giving people a chance to shine a light on their lives, shine a light on a little advice that they want to share.
Listen to The Bright Side on America's number one podcast network, iHeart. Open your free iHeart app and search The Bright Side.
Imagine you're a fly on the wall at a dinner between the mafia, the CIA, and the KGB. That's where my new podcast begins. This is Neil Strauss, host of To Live and Die in L.A., and I wanted to quickly tell you about an intense new series about a dangerous spy taught to seduce men for their secrets and sometimes their lives. From Tenderfoot TV, this is To Die For. To Die For is available now. Listen for free on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
The Elevation with Stephen Furtick podcast was created with you in mind. This is a podcast for those feeling discouraged or needing guidance from God. Together in this podcast, we'll dive deep into scripture, uncover the powerful truths that will help you rise above your limitations and embrace your full potential. We're here to equip you with the tools you need to conquer life's challenges. Listen to Elevation with Stephen Furtick every Sunday and Friday on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Thanks for listening to the Best of Coast to Coast podcast. Become a Coast Insider, and you can hear this complete conversation as well as recent shows featuring guests discussing new cases of the troubling cattle mutilation phenomenon, worrisome instances of clandestine CIA torture, and the evidence that the lost city of Atlantis may have really once existed. Check out these programs and many other fascinating episodes waiting for you in the Coast to Coast Archive by heading over to coasttocoastam.com and signing up for Coast Insider.
Now here's a highlight from Coast to Coast AM on iHeartRadio.
Andrew Collins is a writer, historian living in the United Kingdom. He's the author of more than a dozen books that challenge the way we perceive the past. In 2008, Andrew and a colleague, Nigel Skinner Simpson, discovered a previously unrecorded cave complex behind and beneath the pyramids of Giza, which has brought him worldwide acclaim. And of course, his latest work is called The Cygnus Key, The Denosoban Legacy, Göbekli Tepe, and The Birth of Egypt. Andrew, welcome back, my friend.
Hi, George. Yeah, yes, it's just about 8 o'clock in the morning here, but I'm bright and well and ready for a good interview here.
And I'm on the West Coast, so it's 12:11 a.m. right now. And
right.
Here we go. The subtitle of the book is called The Denosoban Legacy. Yeah. What are they? What is that?
We're talking about a completely previously unknown group of pre-humans, basically. The anthropologists call them hominins, basically, i.e. basically as part of the human group, but prior to us modern Homo sapiens, or modern humans as we call it. And we had no knowledge of their existence until 2010, when a finger bone that was found in a cave in the Altay Mountains of southern Siberia was examined, and the genome of it, the DNA, was found to actually come from this absolutely unknown human species. And what's so important about this is not only has other fossil remains been found of this particular species, who is today known as the Denisovans after the cave that they were discovered called the Denisova Cave, but it would also seem that they had incredible technology and possibly even a very developed understanding of the heavens, the celestial bodies, eclipse cycles, and that they may well have passed on this legacy to the earliest modern humans that passed through this region, southern Siberia, Mongolia, prior to around 40,000 years ago, when the Denisovans disappear from history. And this technology is absolutely quite extraordinary. They created jewelry that was so beautiful that it's not seen again for at least another 20, 30,000 years.
Wow.
They had bone needles, the first ever in the world, suggesting that they wore tailored clothing. They may well have ridden horses. They created the first musical instruments. And all the evidence that I'm putting together would seem to suggest that they were absolutely fascinated by the celestial bodies and the time cycles associated with them, and recorded these down on things like bone plates and things like that, and that these this information contained the most extraordinary number sequences, numbers like 54, 108, 216, 432, which crop up in much later times within cosmological myths and legends, and also within sacred architecture, all the way around the world, from Mesopotamia to India to Cambodia, Java, China, even in Northern Europe, to do with cosmic time cycles. And you have to ask yourself, if this is the case, then who were these Denisovans? You know, what more can we find out about them? And what exactly was their impact on the beginning of our own civilization?
What did they look like, Andrew?
Well, everything tends to suggest from the fossil remains that we have that they were extremely large in size and possibly in height as well. And it is very likely that they are remembered in legend as giants. And in the very area where the evidence of their existence has been found, which is, as I said, in the Altai Mountains of southern Siberia and Mongolia, there are legends to do with these this population of giants who handed to humanity not just their own ancestry, you know, in other words, they were the founders of clans and tribes, but also that they taught us how to create bridges, irrigation ditches, the first musical instruments, the first stone monuments. And I think there's a strong possibility that this is actually a memory of the Denisovans and their immediate hybrid descendants, because there is also a lot of evidence that we actually interbred with the Denisovans when our earliest ancestors passed through this region, going gradually eastwards towards the eastern and southeastern part of Asia, and that this this ancestry is something that's crucial to us understanding exactly who we were and where civilization came from.
Could you call them giants, Andrew?
I would, yes. I mean, I think it's a little bit like, you know, when somebody, you know, catches a fish and you say what size it was and
it gets bigger,
gradually extend.
Yeah.
But, you know, I think that the folklore, myths and legends would suggest that they were a lot taller than what they actually are. But I think we're probably looking at individuals that were, if you could imagine, the biggest wrestlers that, you know, that fight for the, you know, WWE. That's the type of size that the Denisovans were. Now, I'm not saying that every single one of their community was like that, but it does seem as if at least some individuals as part of this population actually looked like this.
Were they the Nephilim of the biblical days?
I think that there is a possibility, yes, that some of the traditions to do with the Watchers, the Nephilim, the Anunnaki, that talk about them being of extreme size is a distant memory of the Denisovans and their hybrid descendants. Because even after the Denisovans disappear from prehistory around 40,000 years ago, you'd have still had their hybrid descendants, and they would have carried their physical appearance, their mindset, you know, and also their legacy quite clearly. This is very, very important. I mean, I mentioned the word mindset here because it does also appear that the Denisovans had a very unique mindset, because when the genome was sequenced of the Denisovans in 2010, which was how we first discovered that they existed as an independent population, what it was found is that they had certain genes that relate very specifically to autism in modern populations. And now this doesn't necessarily mean that the Denisovans were autistic, but it does suggest that they had a mindset that could have thought in a manner which modern autistic people, people on the autistic spectrum, may well have, you know, thought in a similar way. And what I mean by that is these time cycles, this the monitoring of the sun, the moon, and the stars, and long-term eclipse cycles, and generating these cosmic numbers and projecting them forward to create numbers which were thousands, even millions of digits, not digits, but you know, in length, millions of numbers in length, could well have come from a savant-like mindset, a autistic-like mindset. And it may well be that they are the source of these cosmic time cycles and that they passed them on to our earliest ancestors and said to them, you know, just never forget these. These are very important. You can use these. And that we've remembered them and we've put them into sacred architecture. They're contained within our cosmological myths and legends. And they appear all around the world, the same numbers, 432, 216, 108, 54. They're there everywhere. And, I mean, people like my colleague Graham Hancock and others have tried to find the source of these numbers, suggesting that they belonged to a lost civilization. Mm. And I think that we may just have found that lost civilization.
Might they have been extraterrestrials?
I don't think that they were extraterrestrials. I think that they were born and bred on Earth, and they had several hundred thousand years to develop the mindset and physiology that they actually had, which was obviously a lot longer than our own ancestors, because, I mean, the earliest modern humans, in theory, only go back about to around 300,000 years ago. But the Denisovans had been around for several hundred thousand years, you know, before they disappeared. And that's a long time to develop your own, you know, your own mindset, physiology. And I think that this is one of the reasons why they became so technologically advanced. But, of course, the big question now is what impact did they have elsewhere in the world? We know that they were in Siberia, almost certainly Mongolia. But where else were they? I mean, the modern populations that still carry Denisovan DNA or Denisovan ancestry can be found in many different places of the world, everywhere from China, Southeast Asia, to Melanesia, to Australia, all the furthest reaches where our earliest ancestors reached probably as much as 40 to 50,000 years ago. And we're in its infancy at the moment. The understanding of the Denisovans is something which we're all trying to get to grips with. I mean, my colleague Graham Hancock, for instance, he went out to the Denisova Cave where these bones were found last October. He's into it. It will appear in his books when they come out next. And I know some of my other colleagues are working on this. And the archaeologists realise how important they are as well. They realise that some of the earliest inventions of our ancestors, particularly in the area of Siberia, may well have come from our contact with the Denisovans. And therefore, this is not just a fringe idea. This is something that's going to grow and grow and grow as the years go by.
Listen to more Coast to Coast AM every weeknight at 1 a.m. Eastern and go to coasttocoastam.com for more.
With Lucky Land Slots, you can get lucky just about anywhere.
Dearly beloved, we are gathered here today to... Has anyone seen the bride and groom?
Sorry, we're here. We were getting lucky in the limo and we lost track of time.
No, Lucky Land Casino, with cash prizes that add up quicker than a guest registry.
In that case, I pronounce you lucky.
Play for free at LuckyLandSlots.com. Daily bonuses are waiting. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
Bring a little optimism into your life with The Bright Side, a new kind of daily podcast from Hello Sunshine, hosted by me, Danielle Robey,
and me, Simone Boyce. Every weekday, we're bringing you conversations about culture, the latest trends, inspiration, and so much more.
I am so excited about this podcast, The Bright Side. You guys are giving people a chance to shine a light on their lives, shine a light on a little advice that they want to share.
Listen to The Bright Side on America's number one podcast network, iHeart. Open your free iHeart app and search The Bright Side.
Imagine you're a fly on the wall at a dinner between the mafia, the CIA, and the KGB. That's where my new podcast begins. This is Neil Strauss, host of To Live and Die in L.A., and I wanted to quickly tell you about an intense new series about a dangerous spy taught to seduce men for their secrets and sometimes their lives. From Tenderfoot TV, this is To Die For. To Die For is available now. Listen for free on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
The Elevation with Stephen Furtick podcast was created with you in mind. This is a podcast for those feeling discouraged or needing guidance from God. Together in this podcast, we'll dive deep into scripture, uncover the powerful truths that will help you rise above your limitations and embrace your full potential. We're here to equip you with the tools you need to conquer life's challenges. Listen to Elevation with Stephen Furtick every Sunday and Friday on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.